Well, a good Wednesday afternoon, Saskatchewan. If you're thinking of going to the Rider game on Friday, there's a special bulletin from Environment Canada on smoke. It's supposed to clear out Thursday evening now, but Regina's just on the edge of it. Like, it's mostly eastern Saskatchewan, and Regina's like just on that edge of the special weather statement from Environment Canada.
And our very own Jamie and I, the sports guy, will keep you up to date on all things smoke-related. And if you have any questions or concerns regarding smoke, please feel free to contact Jamie how you see fit.
Right now.
Oh, bring a food bank donation, too, for Friday.
Yes.
For the game.
It is the
Tackle Hunger.
If the game was today, we're right on that line on whether or not they'd have to.
Did they practice outside today?
It was clearer earlier today, so I assume they did.
Okay.
Yes. But there might have been an injury suffered at that close practice, because all of a sudden Zach Fry lands on the injury report as out for Friday's game against the Edmonton Elks. So
not good.
Another shuffling along the offensive line as we get to a double take with Darryl Davis.
Double take with Darryl Davis.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Darryl. How are you?
Wonderful. And you're right, Locker. Nobody knows smoke like Jamie Nye.
He's the expert.
He absolutely is, man. He informed me. He knows where all the sensors are hidden.
They're not hidden.
No. Well, they are. Nobody else can find where they are.
The funny thing is and the reason why I started doing that is because there was one day there where we must have had. Well, it wasn't just listeners. It was like people at work who just assumed that Jamie and I would know how the whole smoke thing was going to go.
We had a half dozen people in the office asking me about the smoke.
They've heard us on the pregame show. Jamie, you kept the entire province informed, I think, before the Rider game. What do you think the chances are Friday for a game?
Oh, it's good. We're good.
Whatever Jamie says, man. Hippy dippy weather, man.
The chances of them having a new protocol, though, from the CFL, pretty slim.
How do they not have a protocol in place yet? How do they not have? This on purpose.
They have two owners. They have too many owners. Let the commissioner decide. Let Stuart Johnson decide.
Yeah.
Right?
On this one?
Yeah.
Just call Solly, the CFLPA, and say, Solly, you, me, let's figure this out.
Yep.
What do you think we should do here? Okay, 10 o'clock p.m. That's as late as we're gonna go.
No, call Jamie and I.
We'll get Jamie in on the conversation. Absolutely, man. And I would put Solly and Stuart together in a room and let them figure it out. They know. I was in Saskatoon. We were in Saskatoon Monday. It's way smokier than it is here. They're closer to the fires, obviously. And boy, oh boy, if you can't play and stuff like this, it hurts just to breathe.
It's as simple as sitting down and going, okay, if the game is going to be postponed, how long are we going to let it go?
Need a deadline.
And then cut it off. If it's an hour or two, once the game was supposed to start, then just say, okay, 7 o'clock start. If it's still bad at 9, it's not happening. Go home. Everybody go home.
They have protocol that it looked like it was pretty cut and dry, Jamie. But obviously they said, oh, no, that doesn't apply before a game. Just go with the regulations they got written
down. Why do we make our lives so much more complicated than they need to be?
That's the CFL. That's the beauty of it. We love it. We're embarrassed by it. We hate it sometimes, but it sure is entertaining.
Double take with Double D, Darryl Davis. You were asking Corey Mace about grades this week.
How'd you know?
Because Britton told me.
Yeah, did you? I heard, was it my voice on a tape somewhere?
Yeah.
Recording? You can't use tape anymore. Sorry, it's an old term.
So, B, right?
That's what Corey Mace said. Yeah, he's legit. He paused for a second when I asked him, and he looked at, and you could tell he was thinking, geez. And all the coaches I've done report cards with over the years, I don't think I've ever asked any of them to put their input in. But I know he's pretty heartfelt on these things, and he's not going to, but you know he's not going to fail them, and you know he's not giving them an A because he's talked about it, and we've talked about it in here. I've written about it, that they're not perfect yet. And I think a B is legitimate. They're 5-1, right?
I like a B. B's good. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There's room. The only guys I gave an A- to the quarterbacks because I think they've done everything they're supposed to do, right? Trevor Harris has been great. Trevor Harris' worst game, he threw for 425.
Jake Mayer was mistake-free filled in.
Yes,
that win.
Absolutely. And Tommy Stevens has been unstoppable as a short yardage guy. The lowest mark, I think, is special teams, and it's not because of Mario Alford, who's now hurt, or their coverage teams have been great, but their punter and their kicker are at the bottom of all the regulars. So that's the weakest spot. And you know what? The defensive line. We talk about their defensive line. They got nine guys, most of them with all-star credentials, right?
Yep.
None of them have really shone. They've been okay, but this defense relies on the pass pressure from that front four, and they're supposed to be all fresh, and I haven't seen anybody having this outstanding all-star season. So they're a C, and everybody else is in the B, B
minus. So did you agree with Corey that it's a B?
I tried to average it out to that because I did agree with him. I absolutely agree with him.
I like a B.
Yeah.
Should the Riders be concerned about this Elks team?
Always. But I don't think so. I think they're just trying to hide the fact Cody Fajardo is starting at quarterback, and that way you don't have to say, hey, you're playing your old team, right? And all the hype that goes with it. The Trey Ford hasn't been very good. They had to make a quarterback change. They're in trouble again. They're not a very good football team. They have a lot of flaws on that team, and quarterback is one of them. As much as everybody wants him to be a great quarterback, he isn't a great quarterback. So they may as well make a change. And I don't think the Rough Riders really have to be that scared about the Elks. But we also said that about the Stampeders, didn't we? And we totally underestimated the Stampeders, but I don't think we're underestimating the Elks.
Well, I forget who was it. Dave, we were talking. Might have been Dave Naylor. Campbell. We were talking. Dave Naylor. We were talking to, where he said if all things were equal. And they hadn't declared Trey Ford the starter, and it was an open competition in camp. Yeah, it was Dave who said, I was told Cody would have won that job through camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the numbers that they would have run on completion percentage and efficiency, Cody was the better quarterback in camp. So with knowing that, here we are now. How will Rider Nation treat Cody Fajardo if he is the starter? Because they haven't had that. They had the little thing when he was the backup for Montreal, and they went with Davis because he wasn't fully healthy.
Yeah,
and they did the, hey, welcome back, and people cheered. But do you think we get the Cody chance when he comes out at quarterback if he's a starter on Friday?
Probably a little bit, but there's also some appreciation. And realize he's won a Grey Cup since he left here, right? He's become a pretty good quarterback. He's a little lower.
Henry Burris won a Grey Cup, and he still got it, too.
But Hank played the long with that one, right? Cody's a lot more serious about things like that. Henry Burris loved the flamboyance of the whole role.
That might make it worse, though.
Well, no,
If you don't want it, you might get it more.
No, Hank got it worse because he asked for it, right? Okay. He loved that stuff, and he was grinning about it all the time, right? You could just ask him, oh, yeah, all right, fans and me. And he'd turn around and taunt them. I can't imagine Cody Fajardo turning around and taunting the fans here.
Before we jump into your Brewers, we want to have a quick conversation about protecting the quarterback. And did you hear Jamie's spearing like earlier in the week? Just automatically
on Drew Brown.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a suspension.
Add that to the list.
I couldn't believe the TSN panel, all former players saying, oh, that's not worthy of an ejection or a suspension. Are you kidding me? That's exactly what they're trying to take out of football. Another good quarterback. There's three quarterbacks went out last week, right? I know that Zach Lawrence is coming back. Mm-hmm. Almost every team, has lost its quarterback this year.
Yeah.
You have to protect them. It's not Except the greatest Calgary. Crop of quarterbacks ever, but you still have to protect this group of them. And that's what the game has become. If you think it's soft, well, fair enough. But that's what the rules say. Yes, that was the spearing call. That's, you know, he's led with his head. And the fact that Drew Brown only had three of his four buckles done up on his helmet and his helmet goes flying off, big deal. He's still pretty safely ensconced in that helmet. That was Amos hit him dirty and high. And he can say he's a clean player, okay, but then you better hit him lower in the target zone.
I think where you get into the weeds with that conversation specifically about that hit, Daryl, is that I don't know if – I think what the panel was trying to do is they were trying to differentiate the difference between – okay, that was spearing, but that wasn't a dirty hit. Because then you're starting to weigh in his intent and his history as a player.
It's still a dirty hit. You can say he's not a dirty player. Sure, he's not a dirty player. He doesn't have a record of that, but it's still a dirty hit. Dirty players sometimes take dirty hits at people. It happens in hockey. It happens in all contact sports. So that was a dirty hit. You're right. So and whether he's got a bad record or not, he's a headhunter, it doesn't matter. That's still an ejection and probably a suspension. It should, in my books, it is.
Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we're going to talk some baseball with Daryl Davis as The Big Dumper stole Free Burger Day in Milwaukee. And next on 980 CJME and 650 CKLM. Jamie Locker with you, joined by Daryl Davis, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter with a double take with Double D, Daryl Davis.
Almost didn't make it, guys. Traffic was wonderful again in Regina.
Oh, by the way, we got a traffic update in Saskatoon. Idlewild, apparently, is backed up to 71st because of near the an accident, Idlewild Travel Lodge. Okay. But Louvain's closed in Regina, so that's backed up
that's
to,
where like, I was trying to
Harbor
come in.
Landing.
Okay, yeah, right at the Harbor Landing. Yeah, I couldn't get in, man. I pulled a U-turn in the ditch.
That's a police cruiser that's closed that down. So
okay, well, and then I had to park across 11th because downtown Regina. But those horrible traffic engineers that have destroyed Regina, at least they left a little pedestrian path for me to walk through. I shouldn't announce where my car is parked, but it's south of 11th Avenue, so I can
especially
walk.
Especially after that.
Yeah.
Wait, where are you towing my car?
Yeah. They couldn't find it. They can't get near. You can't get downtown anyway because of what they've done.
But have you heard the new price tag for the pool?
Yes, absolutely. Why don't we just put a roof on Wascana? Isn't that what one of the counselors suggested? Let's do that.
I did hear that today.
Yeah, man. Okay, cool. We could water slide year round.
Do we need another pool?
We do need a swimming pool, yeah.
We do? Okay.
Like a new aquatic center?
I'm new, so I'm just wondering.
Yeah, does it need to cost the same price as Mosaic Stadium, though?
That's true. No.
Maybe it'll be a great pool, Jamie.
Uh-huh.
I gotta put
a roof on it.
Yeah. I got a baseball question for you. Brewers.
Yay.
Okay, the streak ended last night. And
yeah, they won again today, though. They redeemed themselves against Seattle today.
But how many times have you seen the Brewers play live in person over the years?
Oh, about a dozen.
A dozen?
Always, but I haven't been to the new park. I haven't been to Miller Park. I used to go to I won't go to the States with Trump in charge. Why would you do that? Why would you risk your life down there? So I go to Milwaukee before when they used to play at the old park and watch Robin Yount and all my favorite player, Paul Molitor and the ball bangers. Yeah, I was
okay.
So I saw those guys. I went to Milwaukee quite a few times.
Did you ever have a George Webb burger?
No, but I heard about those. So 12 in a row. Hey, and George Webb gives wants the 12 in a row burger. So they were one win shy. The Brewers. They had 11 straight. I would have gone out and bought myself a Brewer burger, I guess. Right?
There you go.
Can't believe Big Dumper ruined that.
Isn't that Cal Raleigh? Isn't that a horrible nickname? He doesn't like it, apparently, the Seattle Mariners catcher, right?
Why wouldn't you like that nickname?
Well, it's you know who it is, but 39 dingers. What a season he's having. So he beat the Brewers yesterday with a single shot, right? And they started Miz, the big 6'7" guy for the Brewers. Man, what a young pitcher they got. So there might be a chance here.
He throws just heat. This is an interesting year in the majors, right? Because we're not talking about the Yankees and the Dodgers right now.
Tigers and the Cubs, maybe.
We're talking about the Cubs. We're talking about the Tigers. We're talking about the Jays. We're talking about the Brewers.
And the Brewers just passed the Cubs. So I'm going to just stop in at the newsroom and visit Britton Gray, that Cubs fan.
He's right there.
Oh, hey, Britton, how are the Cubs doing?
He's like,
second place, right?
By the way, this might be a bold prediction question on Friday. Do you think there will be a Coldplay and reenactment for a Kiss Cam moment at the Rider game on Friday?
Probably. Isn't that what everybody's doing?
Involving Gaynor.
Oh, involving Gaynor, yeah. And probably. It's getting a little tired, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
thank you.
What I'm thinking too. So yeah, but I
let
I
it go. Let
yeah,
it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
It's all.
I hope they play.
You do have a granddaughter, don't you? Little Elsa going on there, Daryl.
Let's play some Chapel Roan.
Yes.
Yeah. Coming to Saskatchewan. Moving to Saskatchewan, right?
She sent out a tease of her because that song, "The Subway," is going to drop as a single soon. And she sent out a teaser, and it was all the Saskatchewan imagery with a moving truck. With a
sign,
license plate.
And
those looked like legit plates, too. They were. Yeah.
Now, people said it's Chapel Roan in the movie. I'm like, I don't think they probably got an actress with the same color hair. I don't know if Chapel Roan actually came to Saskatchewan to shoot that. Maybe she did. But she does say she wants to do a show in Saskatchewan.
Well,
because
I think she said herself, even though it's probably a bit of a slight to say I'm running away to Saskatchewan where nobody will ever find me. I think
it rhymed. I think
what
more
does Saskatchewan
anything,
rhyme with, Locker?
It rhymed. Listen to the song. Play the clip. It rhymed, Jamie.
Saskatchewan doesn't rhyme with anything. It's like orange.
That's what I was surprised by.
It's
so she found something to rhyme, and it worked.
I can't find it that quick.
Okay. All right.
Play it later. I'll drive home. When I eventually get to my car south of 11th Avenue here, I'll listen to you guys on the way home.
Oh, wait. Never mind.
When he pulls his...
She kind of twisted "Gone" with Saskatchewan. Okay.
Yes, I like it.
Like, Daryl, I'll see you Friday.
You bet.
For a 2-hour pregame
That's
show.
It? Yeah, you promise that? Jamie Nye, the censor guy.
Guaranteed. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Of course, the Riders and the Elks on Friday night at Mosaic Stadium. A reminder, it is Pure Later Tackle Hunger Night that night. So bring those non-perishable food items to the stadium. Cash donations as well will be accepted as always. You will find the bins around Mosaic Stadium. Party in the Park, that will be where like the Grey Cup and all that stuff is.
Yeah.
So
it's on the west side, right?
West side between the Brandt Center and Mosaic Stadium. So that's the deal.
Let's beat that 29,000 pounds from last year.
Should
it's like,
let's do it. It's a pound a person.
Yeah, see, that's easy. I can carry that on my scooter.
So bring 2 pounds each, and we're going to be at 58.
I could bring 2 pounds on the scooter.
So that is Friday or the Rider game.
Got a case of beer home on that thing. Why not?
Exactly. It's more than 2 pounds. Jamie and Locker here in the Green Zone. Of course, the pregame show Friday, 5 o'clock ahead of the 7 o'clock kickoff against the Elks. We continue our NFL preview series. Training camps underway. We wanted a peek at the Jacksonville Jaguars with the first overall pick, Trevor Lawrence. Who question about his future? And also, Travis Wann, Travis Hunter, the two-way player. What is he going to do as a member of the Jags? Will he play defense, offense? We had a chat with Associated Press reporter Mark Long about, first off, whether or not Trevor Lawrence will be good to go.
He says he's ready. He says he's as healthy as he's been in a while. But again, it's all talk. Can he stay healthy? He has not the last two seasons. He missed a career-high 7 games last year, the last 5 following a concussion on an illegal hit. And then he had shoulder injury that hampered him a lot of half the season and ended up having shoulder surgery. So he's saying all the right things. But until we see him, and he's throwing the ball well, but until we see him get through games without getting dinged up, without getting hit, without getting knocked to the ground, some of those things that have just plagued him over the last few years, that's when, you know, everybody will be a believer. I mean, nobody's given up on Trevor Lawrence, but certainly a lot of people are questioning whether or not he's actually the generational quarterback the Jags thought they were getting when they took him with the, you know, first overall pick in 2021.
He's great hair.
He's got sensational hair.
Got good looks.
But
you know what? The funny thing is, there's a point. I mean, this guy's almost 26 years old. He's now a father. There are people out there, though, who are like, he needs to cut his hair. Like, it hasn't worked. You're 4 years in. You're going to year 5. You've got teenager hair, right? It's baseball boy hair. It's like, at this point,
I want just move teenager on. Do something hair.
We all do, and I do too, but there is a segment of the population, certainly in Jacksonville, certainly Jags fans, who would like to see him try something different.
Oh, see, this is
hasn't worked.
This is Johnny Unitas versus a Joe Namath all of a sudden.
At least it's not frosted tips.
Yeah, at least it's not frosted tips like Joe Burrow last year. That's true. But
good point.
I don't know. Can we give the kid a break? Like Urban Meyer, Daryl Bevel, Doug Peterson, now another new system to learn. This hasn't been an easy ride for Trevor Lawrence to start his career despite being the first overall pick of the 2021 draft.
No doubt about it, and that is part of the reason maybe why he gets a little bit of a pass. But it's a short leash at this point because, yes, he hasn't had the best road. Urban Meyer tried to screw him up by making Daryl Bevel wanting to run him all the time. That's your first year, and then all of a sudden you get Doug Peterson, who is forces offensive coordinator, press Taylor down his throat for 3 years. You know, he switches quarterbacks, coaches midway through there. So there's been no continuity from offense to offense. There's been, you know, and I'm not sure he's gotten good coaching, period. I'm not sure Doug Peterson is a good offensive coach. So from that standpoint, I'm not sure Liam Cohen is either. So from all of that standpoint, I guess the book is still to be written on Trevor Lawrence, but he's running out of time because at some point, This is a new coaching staff, a new general manager. They're not going to give this guy 5 years like the old staff would have, you know, the regime that drafted him. New regime trying to put their stamp on this thing. The leash is all of a sudden getting real short on Trevor Lawrence. Not to say he's, you know, in danger this year, but I do think if it doesn't work out this year for Trevor, or he misses a lot of time, then all of a sudden I think this regime will be going into 2026 at least talking about, what are we going to do at quarterback? Is Trevor the guy, and for how long, and at what point do we replace him?
It's interesting, Mark, and I think I know where this is going to go, but they've thrown a bomb into this team, and they're replacing everybody on the coaching, like general manager. You just sort of rattle it all off. Where are the fans at? Like, are the fans must be losing their minds.
Well, they didn't show up. You would think today, first day of camp, new GM, new head coach. You got Travis Hunter, who's one of the shiny pennies, right, in the NFL draft. You would have thought that, you know, they might pack it today for the opening. It not so. It was early. It was an 8:15 on the field at 8:15. So it was pretty early on a weekday. So not ideal, but it was not a good showing. I would say, you know, if even half, I don't know if they had 1,000 people show up today. So not good, and rightfully so. The fan base should be frustrated with this franchise. Let's put it this way. They were going to keep the general manager. I mean, that's where we're at with Shad Khan, the owner. He was going to keep Trent Baalke, even though anybody who had access to the owner told him it wasn't working with Trent Baalke. He was still going to keep Trent Baalke and let him hire another coach. And then it wasn't until he realized that he wasn't going to get Liam Cohen, let alone Ben Johnson, and then he's sitting there going, okay, now I have to do something to the GM to be able to get one of these two coaches I want.
As we get a preview from Jacksonville, Mark Long here on the Green Zone with the first overall pick, still fighting his way through, and Trevor Lawrence too. As you said, the big shiny coin in training camps across the net. This isn't only a Jacksonville story. This is an NFL story. It was insane to watch Travis Hunter at Colorado play both sides of the ball and play every snap and win the Heisman. And then he goes to the National Football League. And we ask you the big question mark, how much will we see Travis play both sides of the ball now that he's gone to the National Football League?
Well, a lot. I don't know if it's going to be 100 snaps like, you know, some people have projected. I think that's unrealistic, but I would not be surprised if it's 80 snaps a game. And again, can he hold up? But he's kind of slightly built. He's got pretty skinny legs, not a really huge upper body. You know, you just look at him and you go, can he hold up? Can he withstand the rigors of NFL competition? They think so. They think this kid is special. He's going to play offense primarily, and then on defense, he's going to be a nickel cornerback where he comes in on passing downs and they move some things around, and he's going to be an outside guy on third down, passing down situations. But that's where the plan is for now. Whether that increases or decreases remains to be seen. I think a lot of that will be on him in terms of what can he handle and what does he show. How quickly can he pick it all up? I just know there are questions. There are questions locally. There are questions nationally. In terms of, you pick this guy second overall, you expect him to be at least a Pro Bowler on one side of the football. You're not picking guys thinking they're going to be Hall of Fame, but you're picking guys thinking he's going to be a Pro Bowl player for the next 10 years, right? Or generally close in the mix for Pro Bowl. Well, if they're not playing him fully on offense or fully on defense, can he reach his potential on either side of the ball? That is the concern around the league. Where you talk to other people, it's like, okay, well, they're sharing offense, they're sharing data. It's hard enough to get really good in this league being committed to one side of the ball. Now, this guy's going to spread his time over both sides of the ball. And there's just not that many hours. The collective bargaining agreement limits how many hours you can spend in the classroom and on the field. So they're already a little bit in a bind in terms of trying to get him to reach his max based on the rules that are in place.
So do you think the priority is going to be wide receiver for Travis?
I do.
Okay.
I do, and I think it has to be. This regime has made an emphasis that everything they do has to be to make Trevor Lawrence better. So they need help at receiver. They cut tight end Evan Ingram last year, who was kind of pretty much a wide receiver, and then they traded Christian Kirk. They dumped Gabe Davis just a few months ago. So all of a sudden, they've got huge holes on that side of the ball. Brian Cummings Jr. made the Pro Bowl as a rookie last year. They signed Dyami Brown, one-year deal. So they really are counting on Travis Hunter to come in and start and play a ton of snaps right away on offense. And I do think defense is the side of the ball that they're just going to be a little slower to work him in on.
So finally, what do you think of the Jacksonville Jaguars this season? Where do you put them, or is this another ugly season in Jacksonville?
Settle in.
I think 4-13 last year, they had better talent than that. They have better talent than that. There's a lot of dysfunction, right? And sometimes when you get rid of the dysfunction, you can immediately show big-time signs of progress if the talent's there. I think the talent's there. I think this team, a little bit of a sleeper, maybe even a dark horse in the AFC South, and I would not be surprised if this team is around that 8 or 9 win total and really start to turn a corner here by getting rid of the dysfunction. And when I say dysfunction, I'm talking about significant dysfunction. Think about this. Not only were their offensive coaches not talking to other offensive coaches last year, but week 2, the Jags lose at home 18-13 to the Cleveland Browns. Doug Peterson comes in the locker room, throws his hat down, says, "This is not what I signed up for," and tells the offense they need to apologize to the defense for the performance they put out there on the field. That's week 2 of an NFL season. That's the kind of dysfunction these guys went through or dealt with in Jacksonville last year, all behind the scenes. I think when you flush that, you got a chance to get really good really quickly. We saw it in 2022, Doug Peterson's first year, coming off the dysfunction of Urban Meyer. They flipped the script pretty quickly, won the division, made the playoffs, and won a game in the playoffs.
Well, with the difficulty mark that the Jacksonville Jaguars had last year, it's nice to see that the NFL gave you a really nice start in the schedule.
Yeah, it's a brutal schedule. It does get better in the back half, but yeah, they got to be able to survive through the bye week when you're looking at, you know, and Carolina's, you hope to be able to win that thing, but at Cincinnati, at San Francisco, Kansas City, Seattle, L.A., all playoff contenders. Yeah, it is a brutal first 7 games for the Jags.
Well, Mark, appreciate the chat. It was great having you on. Thanks for your
awesome,
time.
Mark. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. Thanks, guys.
That is Mark Long, Associated Press, out of Jacksonville. We'll see how the Jags do this season. Coming up next, from AI to hot dogs, Champs and Chumps on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners, big winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Champs and Chumps here on the Green Zone. Today's chump is something being dubbed Baby Grok.
No, that's what he's calling it. It's not being dubbed. That's what Elon Musk called it, Jamie Nye.
AI for kids.
Yay. If this doesn't terrify you, I don't, like, you need to put something down. Clear your head. Get a couple of sober days in you. We should be terrified that Elon Musk is launching anything for our kids that has anything to do with AI. Like, this is not right. This needs to be stopped.
Nothing stops Elon Musk.
This should concern everybody.
Well, I'm telling you, my kids aren't going to touch it.
Don't let your kids near this.
This is, I know that much. And that's where parents come.
This is scarier than those robots that Boston, remember that place in Boston that does like the walking dogs? Boston Dynamics. Thank you, Brett.
No, that's frightening.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, that's frightening.
They do backflips and stuff.
And they're starting to do like human-sized things that are running now. Don't like that.
Yeah. No. In China, they got like robot kids that play tag with everybody.
I think they made a movie about this, didn't they? They made a movie about this? Had Arnold Schwarzenegger in it? Okay, let's go to the champs. Jays fans, Locker's smiling ear to ear. He really wanted to champ Jay fans because apparently they broke a record of 84,371 loony hot dogs yesterday.
The previous record was set back in 2023 for a Tuesday night, loony dog night. 76,627 dogs were sold. They crushed it. 84,371 loony dogs sold last night during the Yankees game. I am proud of each and every one of you. Congratulations, Jays fans.
My nephew is 14. He was at the game. I forgot to, and he is a, he's like 6'2 already. I wonder how many he put down yesterday.
Send him a note. I'm curious. I had 10. I did a loony dog night.
You had 10 hot dogs in a 9-inning game? Well, you just took 20 years off your life.
I had 10. I'm not going to tell you how many beers I had.